All right, good morning, everybody. Give you a brief moment to find your seats and pull out your bulletins. Well, first and foremost, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. And if you have not told your mother or grandmother happy Mother's Day, I would suggest you make that a priority. All right. Obviously, I'm covering for Sam today. If you're wondering where he is, they're enjoying some time away. Events this week at LHBC. What does it say? No activities. So you know what that means? Extra time to be praying for each other. So let's make sure we're doing that this coming week. We have a special presentation here in a second where the Richies are going to share their latest mission report for the upcoming trip. And just a quick reminder, your boxes should have the latest directory in there. If you have any questions about that, you can come ask me. And I think with that, because we have the Richies coming up, I'll keep it short. So Richies, why don't you make your way up? And while we're doing that, we're going to sing somebody happy birthday. No, she's right here. Yes. Come on. Hey, Ava, come on up. So that's not the only birthday this week. Be sure to check your bulletins. We know. Okay, special request. Sarah, come on up. We don't typically sing the birthdays to people who don't have a birthday on the Sunday service, but you know what? It's worth it, right? Oh. Ooh, Sarah has opinions about this.
Ava and Sarah.
All right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Ava was trying to sneak away earlier, so we got her. All right, Richies, I'll turn it over to you.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. We're so excited to share with you and to be going back to Uganda. So I wanted to share with you a brief history of our time in Uganda. So my mom's sister and I went to Uganda for the first time in 2021. We went on a team to the GEM Foundation, which is an orphanage for children with special needs, and we loved it so much that we've kept going back. So Chris and I went again in 2022, and we did a four-month internship in Uganda, and it was just an amazing opportunity, and we loved it. And then we went again last year, and we were able to lead a team to the orphanage. So we're coming again this year, but it's going to look a lot different than our previous times, but I'll let Krista tell you more about that.
Okay, so this time we're going to have more of a focus on teaching, and that's been really cool to see that opportunity open up. When we first went in 2021, I would have never imagined we'd be going this many times and have the opportunities we've been able to have, so that's been really cool to see how God has been at work with our ministry in Uganda. So this year we're really going to be focusing on teaching in churches. I'm going to give a little background on that. So when Kayla and I were there for the 4 months, we got to get a little glimpse of what things are like spiritually in Uganda through going to church services and talking to some of the Ugandans. And they're in their churches with what they're teaching. People there don't have any kind of assurance of their salvation. They're told all these list of things that they have to do to get to heaven. For example, like some of them is they have a big focus on fasting and that you have to be fasting to get right with God, giving money to the church, and so much so that there's people that are struggling to even feed their families because they have to think they have to give all of this money to be able to get to heaven, and certain sins that you can't commit or a certain amount of sin you shouldn't have. And so it's just all these list of things that they're told that they have to do or not to, to be able to get to heaven. It's very fear-based, and it was very sad for us to see. So last year we invited our friend Catherine. That's a picture of us with her. And she is a Bible teacher, so she got to teach at the orphanage last year with some of the staff. There's 80 staff that work at the orphanage, so she did some lessons with them, and it was really cool to see how open they were to that. She focused mostly on eternal security and showing them through the Bible that if we believe in Jesus for eternal life, that can never be lost. And they were really open to hearing that, had lots of questions, and they shared about how it brought them so much freedom. So that was really encouraging to see. Some of the things they said to us was, there's one person that said, I have finally found the peaceful Christ. There is another person that said, I can now serve God out of love instead of out of fear. So it was just really amazing to see the impact that that had on them and the freedom it brought to them. So we're going to be continuing to hopefully bring that freedom to more people this time. This is Ken and Umar. Kayla and I met both of them and got to know them when we were living there the 4 months. And they had a lot of conversations with Catherine last year and had a lot of questions for her. And they invited us to come speak at their churches. That's going to be our focus for this trip. This is our schedule of kind of what we'll be doing this time. So we'll go and visit the Gem Foundation the first day, and that is located in Kakiri. And that's also where Umar's church is. So then we'll be doing a 5-day conference at his church. And then we'll be going a few hours away to Jinja and doing a 3-day conference at a church that Ken has partnered with before. And then we'll be going to Kampala, which is the capital, and doing a 2-day conference at Ken's home church. So we're bringing Catherine again with us this time, and we've finally convinced our dad to come with us. And so him and Catherine are going to be doing teaching sessions with the adults in the churches, and then us three ladies will be doing lessons with the kids and taking them outside and doing some Bible lessons with them and some games and crafts. So I'm going to let my dad share more about what type of teaching we'll be doing.
Yeah, so the main obstacle for dad is sitting on a plane for
20 hours.
Way too many hours. 3 hours is my committed limit.
Usually. Not anymore, Brian. Not anymore.
Yeah. One more time. Yeah, I decided that after 2 trips to Papua New Guinea that I was done with that kind of trip. But anyway, here we are. So, yeah. So the main emphasis, as Crystal was saying, there's a lot of work salvation and loss of salvation teaching over there, so a big focus on the message of life and that salvation truly is a free gift, that you can't lose it. It's not based on our faithfulness, it's based on Christ's faithfulness to his promise. And then along with that, introduce rewards, because we're not doing works to earn or to keep our salvation, we do works for eternal rewards. And then obviously we expect that to bring up questions with problem passages, so we'll be prepared for that. And then also we'll be having Q&A sessions with the leadership of the churches to give them the opportunity to just have more time to understand these things. And then next. Okay, and our main ask from you is to help us to take Bibles to Uganda. Our goal is to take 300. So there's two things, two kind of constraints. One is the climate in Uganda, and the other is the weight of the Bibles that we need to be able to get over there. There are definitely lighter Bibles than this, but we want them to be able to hold up in the climate in Uganda. So we found these waterproof Bibles that are New Testament Psalms and Proverbs, and they're small and light, so we can probably get 100 in a suitcase. So the goal is 300 Bibles. We found them at about $14. I don't know how many we can get at that source. The other source that I expect to have more is about $17. So The cost will be $4,000 to $5,000 to be able to take 300 Bibles. Next.
And then we just have prayer requests. So for this trip, it's been a lot different because when we went to the GEM Foundation, they took care of food, housing, everything. So Chris has been the one researching and finding places to stay, Airbnbs. And so just prayer for safety and our health, and then the housing, that just that everything that Chris has signed up for is what we think it is. And then the food, like in the first place we're staying in Kakiri, it's not really close to like places in town, and there's no kitchens, and so it's just like the food things. It might be peanut butter and jelly and that kind of thing. But and then transportation, that's all stuff that Chris had booked too, so just that all the things that she booked and all the work that she did, just everything falls in place. And then most importantly is that people would be open to hearing the truth. We don't exactly know what Umar and Ken told the pastors we're gonna be teaching, so we're praying that it'll be well received. And then we'll be putting out a calendar that we'll put out there a week or two before we leave that will have each day where we're gonna be, what we're gonna be doing, so you know specifically how to pray for us. So we just thank you as a church for all your prayers, and if you're able to do some Bibles, great. If not, prayer is the top thing that we'd love for you to join us with that. So thank you so much.
Okay, so in summary, the Ritchies are going to Uganda again, but this time the focus is shifting from orphanage support to basically spiritual teaching and guidance. And so the way we pray and the way we support this time around is a little different, but still extremely important. So like Brian said, these Bibles are not cheap, but they're critical because you have to have God's word in order to understand God's word, right? It needs to be in Bible form. So it sounds like a lot of money. There's no pressure. If you want to participate, you can write on your check memo line or whatever, you know, for Ritchie Uganda trip or Uganda trip, however you want to put that down. And then you guys will leave when?
June 16th.
So we have a little less than a month, let's say, to go do the collection, order the Bibles, get them here, and get them prepped to transport over there. So if you have any questions, feel free to come talk to the Ritchies. They, first of all, love to talk about this, and also they're pretty excited for this new trip. You can't tell. Yeah. Be praying for Brian, too, because he's not joking. He does not like those long trips, and maybe some prayer would kind of help ease his soul in that from that standpoint. Okay, so thank you very much. Yeah. Be in prayer. Be considering. If you want to donate, feel free to do that. If you don't, like Jennifer said, still, prayer is critical for this effort. We can pray for them now. We're also going to pray for them before they leave, but Jared, why don't you come up? Let's pray for them.
Would you join me as we pray for the Rich family? Lord, thank you so much for the way that you have blessed this church. Lord, you have blessed Lake Hazel Bible Church with people, with understanding, with your word, with your spirit. Lord, thank you for the Ritchie family and for their desire to honor you more than their desire to do other things like stay home or not get on a plane. Lord, thank you for giving them the heart's desire to go and reach people in this world for you. Lord, we ask that you keep them safe as they go. You provide all that they need. Lord, would you give us the opportunity to participate with them so that together we would see people's eyes get open to the truth, that they would find you for the first time. Lord, thank you so much for the ways that you're going to bless this trip. Lord, we're in anticipation of all the good news that comes out of this. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we commit them to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jared. All right, if you want to see what you're investing in, Brian has a copy of the Bible. You can come check it out. Thank you.
God is good, amen.
Amen.
Would y'all stand with me as we begin? Boy, this is a fitting song. Everlasting God, strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not. You won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Strength will rise. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the Give the Lord a round of applause. He's worthy of our praise. Come on. Yeah. Go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning. You give life. You are love. You bring light. To the darkness you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath. It's your breath. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. You give life, you are love. You give life, you are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. Every heart that is broken, and great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour. count your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
All the earth.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Later. sacrifice, Jesus, Son of God. You are Jesus, Son of God. Jesus, thank you for laying down your life as a sacrifice for us. You bridged the gap and you reconciled us. And by faith, we can have eternal life and be with you. Lord, thank you for that hope. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us hope. Thank you, God, for sending your Son. Amazing love that welcomes me. The kindness of mercy that bought with blood, oh, heartily, my soul undeserving. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so
this morning's offering. We're going to sing a song about giving an offering, and the offering is not of money, but it's of us. It's of our lives. It's our heart. It's our desire to worship him with all that we have, even if that means going to Uganda or going to work on Monday. Worship him with all that you have. Lord, thank you that you can take what we have to give, though it's so small, and you can multiply it for your sake. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tried to clean it up nice, tried to hold it all together. I'm living rich in the world, but a spiritual beggar. And I've been waiting to give till I can give you something better. But you just wanted my heart. So here it is, all of it. Will you take it in this condition? Here I am, fully surrendered. Jesus, you can have it all. Jesus, you can have it all. 'Cause you love every broken piece of an honest offering. Jesus, you can have it all. Turn the pennies in my hand into a heavenly treasure. 'Cause your kingdom rules by a different measure. So I'm pouring out until I'm an empty vessel. Lord, here's my heart. The joy and the sorrow, yesterday and tomorrow, I let go, fully surrendered. Jesus, you can have it all. Jesus, you can have it all. 'Cause you love every broken piece of an honest offering. Jesus, you can have it all to Jesus I surrender, all to you I freely give. I will ever love and trust you, in your presence I daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, all to you I freely give. I will ever love and trust you, in your presence I daily live. Offering, Jesus, you can have it all. Jesus, you can have it all. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my friend.
I surrender one more time. I surrender all.
I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
Jared and worship team. All right, good morning, everybody. My name is Robert Cable. I'm one of your elders here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, along with Jared Schofield and Pastor Sam. And when I found out I was going to be covering for Sam this week and next week, particularly for this week on Mother's Day, I went home and I told Lisa, there is no way I'm going to do a Mother's Day theme sermon. I'll either continue on in Joshua or there's just too many other important things that I want to preach about. I'm getting a sign. Can you turn it up a little bit? Is that better? Kind of? Okay. So, yeah. So here we are today. Today is Mother's Day in the United States and in 91 other countries across the world. Interestingly, there's not one month that goes by where Mother's Day, a form of Mother's Day, is not celebrated by at least one country. And I found 193 countries from January to December where Mother's Day of some form is celebrated. And while I wasn't able to find specific dates before 1000 BC, so, you know, 700 to 1000 BC is kind of the Greek era, one thing became clear as I was looking into this, and that is history consistently reflects a near universal truth. That is, cultures recognize that mothers deserve to be honored in one form or another. Our country's a little younger, so we know exactly where our Mother's Day came from, and it was shaped by the efforts of two women. First was Julia Ward Howe. You might remember that name from the author of the Battle Hymn of the Republic, also a pioneer in the women's suffrage movement. But it was really Anna Jarvis who ultimately championed our modern holiday. And as it goes, Anna Jarvis was inspired by her mother's own Sunday school teachings. One in particular she talked about was on mothers in the Bible. And then she also said that she remembered her mom frequently sharing a desire that one day someone, somewhere, would create a memorial for all mothers, both dead and living. And so it was after her own mother's death in 1905 where she took up the charge. And in 1907, she had organized the first Mother's Day service in her home church in West Virginia. And she picked white carnations as the symbol of the day because, after all, that was her mother's favorite. And so by 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed a proclamation making Mother's Day an official holiday to be celebrated the second Sunday in May. He encouraged Americans to display the flag as, quote, a public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers of our country. And this instinct to honor mothers aligns with God's design. The first recorded motherhood that I could find was found in the first recorded recognition of motherhood, I should say, that I could find was found in Genesis chapter 3. In verse 20, Adam gives his wife a name that reflects her divinely given ability and responsibility. The man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And then later in Exodus, God cements this expectation in the fifth statement written on the tablets brought down from Mount Sinai to the nation of Israel in Exodus chapter 20. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Throughout Scripture, the call to honor parents, including mothers, is repeated and reinforced. God takes it seriously. And one of the final acts of Jesus before his own death, while he was nailed to the cross, was to ensure that his own mother would be cared for. In John chapter 19, starting in verse 26, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. God's expectation of honor is not vague and it's not symbolic. The honor is supposed to be tied to real actions and attitudes. Something that I was a little slow on the uptake in my life. But let's consider these passages from the epistles and Proverbs. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 to 3, quoting from Exodus. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity. This one is interesting. We could spend all day on this one. Christ's disciples are being written to here, and it's implied that they're treating their own parents in an honoring way. In fact, it's used as an example of how we're supposed to treat our older brothers and sisters in Christ. Moving over to Proverbs. Proverbs 23:25. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. Proverbs chapter 1. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your neck and pendants for your head and pendants for your neck. And then at the end of Proverbs 31, we see the husband and the children doing something very specific. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. When was the last time we spoke those kind of words to our wives and our mothers? Scripture is equally clear about God's disdain for those who dishonor mothers. In Proverbs chapter 30, it's grouped with a section of verses that is describing a very wicked generation, one that you might recognize if you were to read it and say, hey, that's the culture I live in. It starts by saying, there are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. Proverbs 10, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. Proverbs 17, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. And then jumping back to Deuteronomy 27, cursed be anyone who dishonors his father or his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. So even this small sampling of scripture shows that honoring parents is not optional. It's actually essential from God's view. We have the perfect example in Christ as he hung on the cross, ensuring his own mother was taken care of. We have reminders throughout scripture, and we have a clear view of how seriously God takes this. God expects mothers to be honored, and that honor is to be shown through real, tangible actions. And I know the Bible says argument doesn't always convince everyone. In fact, sometimes me, it doesn't always convince me. A little slow on the uptake sometimes. So we don't have time to unpack today why the Bible says or the God says argument is the foundation of reality, but that's what we're going to turn our attention to next week. We're going to be spending some time on that. So for today, I'll simply say this. If God tells us again and again that we are to honor our fathers and mothers, we would be wise to take that seriously. So today is Mother's Day, and we can be very thankful that Anna Jarvis's dream, all the hard work she put into it, became reality. She was able to help a culture practice something that is good and pleasing to God, if only one day a year. But what happened in the years following 1914 after that proclamation? And we find that the same thing that happens today in our culture happened then. A wholesome memorial was twisted. Almost immediately, the heartfelt symbolism of proclamations, candies, flowers, cards, gifts turned into performative gestures and lip service. And so Anna then took up the charge and fought against the monster she had created the rest of her life. According to Encyclopedia Britannica, I found a quote from one of her public releases. As she was asking people to reflect on what had happened to the Mother's Day, she said, "What will you do to rout charlatans, bandits, pirates, racketeers, kidnappers, and other termites that would undermine their greed, one of the finest, noblest, and truest movements and celebrations?" She's not hiding her feelings on this one, is she? Owning the trademark Mother's Day, she filed lawsuits to stop Mother's Day celebrations. She even was arrested for disturbing the peace at one. And before her death in 1948, 30 years after the holiday became official, she lamented to her reporter, saying, "This is not what I intended. I wanted it to be a day of sentiment, not profit." She also said she regretted starting the whole thing. You can hear her pain and frustration. And when I read this, it reminded me of Jesus' pain and frustration in Mark chapter 7. Here in Mark chapter 7, he's confronting performative religion, the dishonor of parents, and the abandonment of God's commands. Starting in verse 6, Jesus says, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. And he said to them, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. So we might be thinking, okay, what does that have to do with Mother Day and honoring mothers and parents? But continuing on. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is, given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and many such things you do. This was interesting. As I looked into what Corban was, it was a system the Pharisees had set up to allow an individual to set aside their property and their monies to be, quote, used for God. And if it was set aside to be used for God, it could not be used for anything else, including the things God wanted us to do, like take care of our parents. So if a parent would come to a child and, you know, need help, or maybe they needed a place to live, or whatever the case would be, the child could say, sorry, this is God's property, this is God's money, I can't help you. Very, very similar to our culture today. So isn't this how it often goes, right? When we, our culture, our government, try to redefine what God has established so clearly. And after all, it was barely yesterday we went to sleep, understanding that everyone knew what a woman was, and then we woke up and found out half the country had forgotten. One of the most foundational concepts of reality revealed in both Scripture and in nature was forgotten by our generation. The most basic reality is dismissed and debated. The Pew Research Center has tracked this growing break with reality in several of its surveys. And if you were to trust what the Pew puts out, and I think they do a pretty good job with their methods, we can know that this is not information or answers submitted by foreign bots in a chat room or something like that. These are real Americans with real views that do not align with reality. So to the question, Americans who say a person's gender can be different from their sex at birth. 2017, 44% said it could be different. 2021, 41%. 2022, 38%. Half the country doesn't understand a basic reality, the difference between a man and a woman. And instead, they're filled with confusion. And you might think, okay, well, it goes from 44% to 38%. It looks like it's improving, right? 38% is still about half the country. Still half the country. Staying on the same question, but breaking it down by religious affiliation. And granted, this is it's kind of a trick question, right? Because it's implying there's a gender-sex spectrum. But when it's broken down by religious affiliation, it's clear that even the religious are not immune to turning their back on reality. Around half to a quarter say there can be a difference from sex at birth. Let that sink in. A group of people who say that God, Scripture, is our authority, don't even know what it says about the creation of a man and a woman. But we shouldn't be surprised, right? This drift has been unfolding over multiple generations. And so I wanted to look at a few key federal points, call them benchmarks. And I'm using these because they're easy to track. We're all familiar with them. And the changes in the federal government, well, they lag our culture, right? Our culture's already been there, and then the federal government's just kind of following. So 25 years ago, the words, the ideas, woman, female, mother, they were universally understood. No questions. 15 years ago, we began hearing terms like pregnant people and birthing individuals, and we started to see wild and crazy things on some of these forms. I remember we took the kids to a museum about that many years ago. And some of the questions on the forms that the kids were filling out were just astounding. Shocked. It was kind of my first introduction to this. 9 years ago, government agencies with real power to affect real people in real horrible ways started implementing these ideas. And we're familiar with many of the agencies, right? They're popular. They're like the Department of Health and Human Services, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, right? Just to name a couple out of all the agencies that have adopted this philosophy. 1 year ago, these ideas entered non-discrimination law. So the break in reality, the confusion injected into our culture is now part of law. And of course, a few months ago, we know there was an executive order that kind of reversed some of the nonsense at the federal level. But we got to ask, for how long, right? We have multiple generations of a spiral downward. One data point is not a reversal of trend. And this isn't just confusion. This is rebellion. A culture that cannot define womanhood will not and cannot honor mothers. It won't happen. The fight against God's definition of marriage has followed a similar path, although it's a little more mature. 30 years ago, the Defense of Marriage Act, DOMA, defined marriage federally as one man, one woman. And for those of you that were there, you remember this was highly celebrated in Christendom. The best thing ever. Government defined reality, and it aligned with what we thought. Right? So foolish. Then over the next 18 years, we saw legal battles between people, the states, the federal government. The definitions jumped around. 12 years ago, the part of DOMA that defined marriage was struck down, right? Because if government can make reality, it can change reality. 3 years ago, the so-called Respect for Marriage Act further codified man-made definitions that mocked God's design. And yes, I'm fully aware I lose a point for not being inclusive by using the word man-made definitions. And again, when it comes to marriage, at least for a time, traditional definitions are being reinforced at the federal level. We're seeing slight movements in our culture towards the positive, but don't count on it as a reversal of trend. We got too much history to show otherwise. In God's design, culture and government have a role, but defining or redefining reality is absolutely not one of their roles. Show me a person who doesn't know what a woman is or can't explain God's sacred design for marriage, and I'll show you a person who is incapable of honoring women, especially mothers, and a person who ultimately rejects reality. So what can we say to this? Well, we can say, may it never be with us. We won't always perfectly honor the women in our lives, and we all know mothers are not perfect, but we do know we have a merciful God. Definitions will shift to confuse and obscure reality and even give permission to people to dishonor their mothers. But we know that all truth is God's truth, and His truth does not change. Our culture has lost its grip on reality, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. When we follow God's lead, we stay rooted. We can avoid the confusion. And when we're rooted, we will be free to honor God's women in God's way. So I would say text messages, candies, flowers, cards, these are not bad things. In fact, Lisa would be pretty disappointed if she didn't get a regular infusion of Reese's peanut butter cups on the holidays. In the hands of God's faithful, these can be meaningful, loving gestures. We just need to remember to be following the principles of the Bible to make sure that these gestures are backed up by love and action. So let us take advantage of the reminder afforded to us by Anna Jarvis. Today, let's honor the women and the mothers in our lives, however you may sincerely choose to do that today and tomorrow and each and every day afterward. We're going to take a few minutes and kind of go through a little exercise. I know this is not everything that happens here. I mean, there's some things I left off, some on purpose, some on accident. But I think it'll prove the point. So the women who make it happen here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, if I name something you participate in, why don't you go ahead and stand? This is kind of a trick question because everyone's going to be standing. What's that? Just the women. Thanks for the clarification there, Don. Just the women. The ladies, the women that make it happen. So if you participate in the nursery ministry, go ahead and stand. Okay. Children's church, Awana, ladies ministry. And this is just not the planning and organizing. This is the showing up, the participating, the having a good time. Communion, the library ministry, which, by the way, Ramona does a fantastic job with the library. If you've not used our library, I recommend you stop by. The cleaning ministry. This beauty doesn't happen by accident, right? Someone takes care of our building, don't they? Church family dinners, whether you bring food, you pray for the event, you show up, you eat. Worship, right? What are we all doing right now? You're seeing your excuses to stay seated, ladies, running out. Prayer, right? Okay, I'll assume if you're still sitting at this point, it's because you're tired. So men, boys, let's give our ladies a round of applause. Yeah. Because the women help things happen here. Critical, absolutely critical. Okay. So before I pray, we have a small gesture of appreciation. Some of the men are going to be over here, and my kids, are going to be over here by the door, handing them out. Make sure you grab one on your way out. And I hope that you have a very wonderful and blessed Mother's Day. And if you are not a mother, but you are a woman, I hope you have a very wonderful and blessed day. I hope you have people in your lives outside of your church family that tell you how much they appreciate you and they love you. Please pray with me. Father God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come together today as a church family, to set our hearts upon your word, to discover the ways that you would have us treat each other, the way that you would have us understand you, the way that you would have us worship you. Father, you are so wonderful. You are so good. We thank you for these opportunities. May you bring to mind this week and in the coming weeks how we should be honoring the mothers in our lives and the women in our lives. We thank you for this. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Would you stand with me for this final song? Take my life. Let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my
At thy feet.